Thanks, Scott. That was good. Yeah, that was real good. That's right where I was, right? Right where I am. Philippians chapter 3. Anybody there? Y'all beat me there? Golly, I've got to sharpen my skills. Amen? You all right? Philippians chapter 3. This morning I left here. I mean, I was like, man, Lord, what happened? You know, this morning I was like, what happened? I was expecting. I was like, come on, Lord, you're about to blow this place up. And it was kind of flat. And I kept thinking all day, man, what did I do? What could I do better? What could I do this? What could we do better than this and that? And God's like, so you're only going to trust me that I'm doing a good thing. Thank you. I'm about to sing. I'm just kidding. You're only going to trust me when you can see what I'm doing. That's when you're going to trust me. All right? When you can see what I'm doing. You can't trust that when everybody leaves, I'm still working. Whew. Amen? That's God. This message came to me last week. I was going to preach it last Sunday morning, but then God showed up and said, stop preaching, right? And then Peyton preached a little, and then somebody else, and then we went over and seen an amazing miracle happen at Cynthia's house, Brother Allen. And then Kennedy, and then, did y'all feel like y'all are like in a movie over there? Remember that? Come to my house. She asked me the next day, do you think I was crazy? I said, no, I know you're crazy. I just, no. But then when we pulled up over there, I was thinking, you know, there's going to be a few people here, and it's like, wow. And then to see what happened, right? That was God. So this Sunday you come, you think, all right, God, you're going to do bigger and better, right? He is, but you've got to plow, you've got to plant, you've got to water, right? So anyway, this is the message that God gave me last week. This is so vital and so important. This message is, I can identify somebody who's doing it the wrong way. Now, Paul can identify it one way, I can identify it another way. Amen. I'm going to get into that. But I hope you leave here full tonight. Full. That this word kind of spills over into your relationships with other believers and people who are trying to pretend they're believers. Y'all good? Let's look at it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. If I gave y'all enough time to find it, if I haven't, then repent. Because I gave you plenty. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice. Y'all see that? Is that where y'all are at? Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Paul says, it's not a hard thing for me to write to the Philippian church. Paul was in love with the Philippian church. If you read Philippians chapter 1, I encourage you to do it. We're probably going to do a message on that soon. But he uses personal pronoun, I and me, several times. Because if y'all don't remember, this is the place where he was waiting on the Holy Spirit to send him to Asia Minor. And he's like, Lord, send me, Lord, send me, Lord, send me. Like, remember when you first got saved and you really wanted to do something for Jesus? You better, amen. If you haven't, this altar's open. But he's like, come on, come on. He's like a horse with a bridle. He's like, come on, come on, Lord. Set me free, set me free. Send me to Asia, send me to Asia Minor. Send me over here, send me over here. And God's like, no, 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 no. Then all of a sudden, he like a man, the Holy Spirit shaped like a man saying, come over here, right? Y'all remember? Y'all remember this? And he did. He took off, right? And he went down, and they were down by the, there were some Jewish people who were seeking. They were hungry for Christ. They didn't know what they were doing. They were seeking. They were seeking God through the Jewish religion, but also they were open to Christ. And then Paul shows up, and Lydia and all her friends were gathered out by the river, and Paul showed up, and he said, Jesus Christ, Him crucified. That's what you need to believe in. And Lydia, and she was a seller of purple. That means she sold to kings and queens and people that were. She made money. She had a business. She believed. And she said, you know what? God, let's start a church in my house. You know what I mean? That's how radical. She was radical. She said, you know what? I got the money and the where to and the friends and the people. And we don't need. Well, let's start a church. in my house.
We'll call it the Philippian church at Philippi.
And Paul said, this is my first work. And that Paul's now near the end of his journey, and he's writing from prison back to Philippi to encourage them. And you know what he's saying? Never, ever, ever. Now, you only tell people, he's writing this to somebody he loves, and he wants them to know, listen, always lean on rejoicing in Christ Jesus alone. Nothing else. Never, never even consider that it's about you, it's about Him. Always remind yourself you're nothing without Jesus. Amen. And he said, it doesn't, God, I wish y'all get this. He says, it ain't nothing for me to write this to you. It ain't nothing. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't wear me out. I hear things and people say things, but it doesn't bother me to tell you, always rejoice in Christ Jesus. And that's safe for you. You know what he's saying? For you to always, listen, you got to hear this. Always remind yourself. Nope, I'm not good enough. Nope, I'm not special. No, I'm not. I fully trust in who Jesus Christ was. And here in that sentence with, and that is enough. Man, if y'all have really got that, whoo! Man, does the devil ever get on your shoulder and tell you you're not enough? Man, he gets on me all the time. You're not good enough. You didn't pray enough. You didn't read enough. You didn't preach good enough. You didn't do this good enough. And you're not as good as somebody. You know, and God's over here going, no, Kevin, you're not. But I am. And I pursued you. And I saved you. And I knew you. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the beginning and the end of you too. I knew you were going to fail and you were going to succeed. I knew your weaknesses. I knew your strength. I knew how the devil was going to attack you. And I knew everything about you. And I still loved you and died for you and gave you my grace and my mercy and sealed you and sanctified you. Y'all are going to mess around tonight and get me to preach. Really? Man, sealed, sanctified. I'm sanctified in Christ Jesus. And you are too if you're born again. That means when God looks at you from heaven, He sees the seal of His Son upon you, and He can't deny you. Man, I'm going to get into all this doctrinal stuff, and it's just going to send me a flip. Verse 2, y'all ready? It's going to be important right here. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Three times, beware, beware, beware. You know why? He said, I can identify somebody who's a legalistic person who's going to try to get you to fall back under the law of circumcision and the law of the Jews. I can see him from a mile away. Amen? You know why he could see him from a mile away? He was one. Amen? You can always see what you were. Y'all good? He said, I can identify you because I was you. See, I'm not like Paul. I don't fall under the religious, legalistic person. I fall under the Gentile, lost, crazy, wild man who met Jesus. Amen? Paul looked and said, if there's anybody who comes and says, you need to be circumcised to be right with God, and then you must follow the Jewish law, they beware. Because I used to be that guy. Here's me. Y'all want mine? This will help you on the other side. I can identify with this. If somebody comes and tells you that Jesus is good and Jesus can save, but yet they say that He can't change you and you shouldn't go after Him your whole heart. He can't pull you out of some gutters. He can't save from some things. He won't make all things new. I'm gonna be honest with you. They're crazy. Cause see, listen. I met Jesus. And when I met Him, I really didn't want Him. Well, I'm saying, don't be spiritual on me all of a sudden. I'm just saying the truth. I wasn't looking for saved. I was looking for something else. And saved found me. Amen? He left the 99 and came after the one. He came looking for me. And when He found me, guess what? He made all things new. Behold, all things have come new. Old things are passed away. Some of y'all are going to go, well, oh, golly, Kevin, you're perfect now? No, 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 no. They're still dying. But listen, when I mess up, I don't have to have nobody come tell me. And no, 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 let's not do that. Let's not do that tonight. Let's do this. when I mess up, I don't justify it. Y'all better with that? Because if we put it on somebody else, it'll be different. I want to put it this way. When I mess up, I don't justify it. I take it right to Jesus. Let me go ahead and go a little deeper. I don't go in the Bible and try to find out where I'm right. Amen? I go in the Bible and I see where I'm wrong. And I identify it. I go, hey, God, your word says that's wrong. I'm wrong. Amen? I don't try to find some hidden corner place, some little sliver, some little thing. If I connect this to this and I can make it sound all right and hook it up and make it right. Listen, the word of God is true. God is true. The Holy Spirit, when you get saved, guess what? When you mess up, you'll be the first one who falls down and says, God, I don't like living outside of your will. I don't like living outside of your relationship. Y'all right? See, I can't identify like Paul can, but I can identify when somebody says, I'm saved, but I still want to live the same way I used to live. I don't like drinking out of broken cisterns. And I don't like eating maggots. I'll preach a little different to you. I don't like eating from the table of the world and the table of God. Because the table of God, it's kind of, to the world it looks boring. It does sometimes. It looks boring. But the table of the world, if you look at it, there's all kinds of stuff that's appealing to the eye. But if you stare at it long enough, there's some stuff in it. There's a snake in there. A worm in there. A spider will just kind of, you know. Amen? And it's deceitful. You're looking at it and you go, man, but looks pretty good, but you remember there's a little bit of death in it. Well, not a whole lot of death in it, right? that's how I can identify. Paul says, I can identify when somebody comes to me and says, hey, you got to do something to be right with God. Amen? Y'all, let's go a little further. Y'all ready? I'm about to, tonight, listen, when we get down to the bottom of this, there's some stuff in here that needs to be read in context. It's like verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11. It's like a fireworks show in the Bible. And sometimes we don't set the fireworks off in the house of God. I had to tell you that because some of y'all are looking like y'all are getting a glazed look on your face. I shouldn't say that. Y'all are going to hate me some day. Some of y'all are like, one day? Amen. Yeah, you had a good chat with amen right there. All right, look. Verse 3. Paul answers this. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Whew. You know what he just said? Listen, this will set you free. Paul, who wrote the biggest part of the New Testament, who's probably the iconic Jesus Paul. In the New Testament. That's how it kind of goes. He said, I have zero confidence in myself. I have ultimate confidence. I'm of the circumcision. What's his? Christ came in here and circumcised the fleshly heart and put a new heart in me. That is what I have confidence in. I have confidence in zero part of my flesh. I can't be good enough. Whew. Man, have you ever chalked up some days that were pretty good? Come on, y'all. Have you ever had a few, like a good run? Like a 7-day run? I mean, I'm putting together about 7 or 8 good days. I'm rolling. Hey, man, I'm good. Day 8 or day 9? Whew. Where's all that grace and mercy at? Hey, man? Because I need it. So, man. He has no confidence. Look. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He said, look, I'm about to run a list. I know it's King James. Check it out. Hey, what he's saying? He goes, he said, listen, for me to say that is going against everything I was. I'm going to give you the list, but Paul at one point was like this. He didn't just say this. This ain't the first time he's run this list. He used to run it on a daily basis. Because he would compare himself to other people and he would say, I am top notch. I'm doing pretty good. Until he ran into a guy on the road to Damascus. God, I wish I'd get excited sometimes and just shout. I thought I was doing pretty good until I ran into a guy. I thought my life was okay until I ran into a guy. And his name was Jesus. Whew. And he wrecked me. He destroyed me. He wrecked Paul. Paul's like, man, I'm pretty righteous. Jesus said, take a look. No, y'all don't. He said, hey, took a look. He took one look at Jesus and couldn't see for a while. Amen? He looked at Jesus and he was like the noonday sun, but brighter. Golly, y'all don't ever get excited about that. I'm not a science major. I'm not the smartest man in the world. But they say you can fire every nuclear weapon that we have on the face of this planet into the sun, and the sun would keep rocking on. God is bigger and brighter than the sun. One day Jesus said, I need a guy named Saul, and I need him to write some of the New Testament. I need him to be a disciple unto the Gentiles. And he just showed up on the road to Damascus. And Paul had his paperwork with him. I'm on my way. I'm going to destroy this Christian. I'm going to destroy Jesus and Jesus' church. And Jesus said, no, I got a different plan for your life. And he ran into him, and I can't wait to get to heaven. I want to find out where that paperwork went. You know what I'm saying? I wonder, all the names on it, amen? Wouldn't you want to be on that list? You know it was a list of people, right? These are the people that love Jesus. Could you make the list? I'm sorry. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Verse 5. Look at this. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the right hand of God, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. Man, he said, I ain't got a friend that could accuse me of anything. I ain't got a person who could say, hey, Paul, you're coming up short. That's pretty arrogant, ain't it? Pretty blameless. He's blameless. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. He said, what I used to measure myself by and say, man, this benefits me. He said, I give it all away to gain Christ. Man, goodness, this is harder than y'all think it is. It's hard to take your identity, wad it up, and throw it away, and never count back to it. Amen? It's hard not to say, well, before I met Jesus, I was this. Amen? Paul says, look, before I met Jesus, I had a pretty good stat sheet, and I was gaining. But praise God, I've gained Jesus. My stat sheet has been destroyed. Amen? No, y'all need to stay with me. Everybody believes I'm a failure, but Jesus. Everybody believes I have gone the wrong way, but Jesus. Whew. Now here comes the fireworks show. Y'all ready? Look at this. It gets so good. If you don't like this, you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not saved, but I'm going to question it. Amen? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He said, everything that was good about me is rubbish, garbage, waste. But I have gained Christ, who is everything. I have lost everything. Golly, I wish y'all could see this. God dissected him. He pulled his identity apart. Man, at one place, he says, he used to walk into a town and everybody would say, man, it's Saul. I can't wait till he does what he does. He had to be lowered down the wall in a basket. God. all of his friends said, we're not going to eat, we're not going to drink until we kill him. Amen? Well, these are the same ones who couldn't find anything wrong with him. Now he's lost everything but Jesus. When, don't be surprised when you gain Jesus and you lose everything that everybody hates you but God. And it's all right to be hated for the right reasons, right? Verse 9 gets even better. Here's some more fireworks. And be found in him. Let me read this together. That I may win Christ and be found in him. I wrote vine and branches. I want to be found in him. Amen? Now, y'all didn't get that, man. Y'all listen to what I'm saying. Have you ever said, Jesus is in me? Jesus is in me? Yeah, he came into me. Listen to what he said. I want to be found in him. Jesus is in me. The Holy Ghost is in me. But guess what? I am in him. I want to be found in him. I want to be in him. That means when Christ is looked upon, I'm in him. I'm in his resurrection. I am in his vine. I am in his family. I am in his righteousness. Oh my gosh. I want to be in him. It kind of reminds me of Matthew chapter 1. All those people that are in the lineage of Christ. You know all of them, right? My favorite one's Rahab. It's the only place in the Bible you find Rahab without her first name. Harlot. Sorry, it wasn't her first name. But that's the only place you find her. But when you find her in the New Testament, when you find her in the lineage of Christ, you find her in Jesus. Whew. Man, I'm about to pass out. This is so good. Y'all like this kind of stuff? This is like a fire. When I read this, I'm like, man, I forget all these verses are in the Bible, and I forget that they're like right there together. Okay, y'all, let me read again. This is the end of verse 8, going into verse 9. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Whew, thank God. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You know what Paul just said? I can't wait till I get exposed to the judgment seat of God and they don't find my righteousness. They find my righteousness in Christ Jesus. Whew. Look, you do not want to stand in the judgment seat of Christ with your own righteousness. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you can run a list a mile long. If you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ on you, you will be cast away into utter darkness, into hell, into torment for eternity. Paul said, I am so glad that I be found in him, that I will be his righteousness will be on me. Amen? By what? By faith. Listen. Paul said, I gave up all that stuff, and here's what I did. I put all my trust, you want to write this down, I put all my trust and faith in Christ Jesus and what he did at Calvary. See, the modern church don't preach this enough. We don't preach about the cross. The cross is the crux. It's the center point of what we believe. It is the place where God settled the sin debt. That is the place where everything meets. Amen? It's the propitiation of God. It's where God's law was met by God's grace and mercy and gave us a way out through Jesus Christ. We come to that place and that place only and say, I believe in that for my righteousness, for my salvation, for my mercy, for my grace, for my eternity, that and that alone. Whew. Nothing else. Not what you do or what you don't do, what you wear or don't wear. Well, how many of this, how many of that? It's just Jesus. You know how hard that would be for Paul to give up without meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus? You know how hard that is for me? Amen? Before I met Jesus, there was no way. No way out. I can't do this. I can't be. Man, people would say, you need to come to church. I'd say, no reason. I can't do it. Every time I'd been to church prior to my salvation, I had failed. Amen? Couldn't understand the music. Couldn't understand the book. Couldn't understand what they were preaching about. I was like this. I'm an utter failure. And I would leave church and I would do worse than I did when I went. God, I wish. That's a real statement. Because the devil hated me. So I'd go to church and I'd get on board. And I'd see anybody else pray, I'd pray. When they sing, I'd sing. And when I left, the devil turned the heat up. Amen. Everything I love and everything I wanted, all right, you want some of that? There you go. Amen. Paul, if you don't think Paul was tempted every once in a while and go, man, I'm too good for this. Amen. I'm too righteous for this. This free charity stuff. You're crazy. But you know what? Y'all want to keep the fireworks show going? I do. What's this? God by faith. Let's do this. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know Him. Can I preach here just for a minute, please? Listen to this right here. So good. I thought I knew Jesus before I got saved. Anybody feel like that? I had Jesus. He had a big pencil. Amen? And I had a scorecard. And one was a check mark. And then sometimes it was an X mark. And then sometimes it was an eraser, right? And I thought God, Jesus, was this guy who really didn't like me very much and was counting everything I did and didn't do right, right? But then I got to know Him. And I was picturing, you were singing, and I pictured this when you were singing, and it goes along with this, is, see, Jesus reached down for me, and He found me in a miry pit and a miry clay. But I didn't realize the hand that He reached down for me with was scarred from the sins that He was judged on my behalf. Did y'all see that in the lyrics? See, it's different when somebody reaches down to pull you up who's holy and righteous and full of everything that you're not. Amen? But He reaches down with a scar and says, I became everything you are where I can reach who you are. I let my Father put everything that you've done on me so I can reach you. These scars are to identify with you. So come out of there. Amen? See, I found out that Jesus loves me. That little song we sung this morning, He loves me despite of who I am. Not the one you know, not that person we project. I'm talking about in here guy. In here. Some of y'all need to say amen. In here person. Amen? That voice. God loves that person. Yes. God, that's gracious. On your worst day, on your best day. On your most righteous day, on your most unrighteous day. When you're bold and when you're afraid. When you read your book and when you can't even pick up and turn the pages. God, I wish we had some real people talk. There's sometimes you ever read the Bible and you go, man, Lord, this is hard. And then sometimes you read like 20 chapters. Right? God loves you on both days. Goodness gracious. If y'all ever get that, church will change for you. Yes. Whew. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made comfortable unto His death. I didn't mean to read that last part. I didn't want y'all to hear that. But it's in there. Amen? I wanted y'all to hear the power of His resurrection, because guess what? Believers don't die. Believers don't die. Amen? That's good. That's the power of His resurrection. He died and was put in a grave, and raise the third day, that way you never have to die. This body dies, your spirit don't. Amen? Some of y'all are wondering, what happens to a spirit? A spirit is present with God the minute you leave, if you're a believer. Your spirit, golly, I wish y'all get this. Maybe y'all shout on this one. The last breath you take, it says in the Bible, it says, beautiful in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints. Not the dying, but the death. The very minute you take your last breath and your spirit separates from this carcass, this body, you'll be standing in the presence of God. Jesus. And you'll be sitting there looking eye to eye with the one you've been talking about and praying about and said you received and got Jesus. And you'll be sitting there going, my God, I've been trying to put off the thing that I should have been wanting. Amen? Now, I'll explain that to you if you want me to, but I just want to say this. God gives us a grace to live and grace to die. If you still want to live and hold on, that's grace to live. Amen? You'll meet grace to die. You know what it looks like? You'll be sitting there going, I didn't know I had this kind of strength. Amen. I'll get it later. Are y'all having a good, man, I'm having a good time preaching this. I don't know if you're liking it, but I do. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Some of y'all are sitting there going, man, I don't like that part, Kevin. Just leave it out. No, you got to stop. We got to stop living in 2019 sometimes, and we got to realize that God will let you suffer to glorify his name. And when you're suffering, that means God's moved you to another level and said, I can trust him or I can trust her to suffer and not run away from me like a coward. That means God, listen, somebody said, I heard this. I was standing somewhere just recently, and somebody said, this ain't fair. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, it's absolutely fair. If God can't trust us with heartache and pain and trouble, then what do we have? We should be able to, God should be able to say, I can put it on you and you still love me. Amen? Amen? If I can't put it on you and you don't love me, guess what? I can't trust you with anything. Somebody said, well, we're living this life that we're so blessed and we're so favored, and you can only value how good God is by how much you're blessed, not how much trouble you're in. That is bogus. What that means is you're a pacifier baby. Because I got to keep giving you a passy. I got to keep satisfying you to keep you around. I got to let you fall down and get hurt for somebody that's close to you that you either know or don't know who can see you glorify God even though you're bleeding. Amen? Even though you're hurting. Even though you don't have all the answers and everybody's going, this ain't, that God is still good. I still trust God more than I trust this body. Making him conformable unto his death. Whew. Wait a minute. God wants us to die well? Yeah, he really does. He wants us to lean in to the finish line. Amen? You ever seen a runner trying to run a race that doesn't finish at the finish line? They're all trying to get into the finish line. At the end of your life, he wants you to say, you're more like Christ now than you've ever been. Amen? You're more like Christ now. All this has made you to be like Christ. Amen? So we're conformable unto his death. Y'all ready? Firework show's about over? No, it gets better. Watch. Verse 11. If by any means, golly, did that say what I think it says? I'll read it again. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, whatever it takes. No, y'all don't get this. Okay, it by any means that I might attain to the resurrection. The resurrection means this life's over and we're going into the new life. So Paul says, whatever it takes for me to get into the resurrection, God do it. Good or bad. Hard or easy. Simple. God, you can trust me. By any means, amen, that I might attain. I'm going to try. Hey, listen, you ever see it look like he's attained the resurrection of the dead? Look at this, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Whew. It's like a big game of tag with Paul. He tagged me on the road of Damascus. On the road of Damascus, I've been trying to catch him ever since. Are you going after Jesus like that? I want him. God, y'all need to get this. That experience was so good, but I don't want it to be the only one. I want to see him again shine like the sun. I want him to speak into my life again. I want him to blind me again. I want him to have to send somebody like Ananias to lay hands on me again. I want to get motioned over into Macedonia again. I want him to do it again and again and again. That's what I, by any, come on. Come on. That's what he goes, I'm after Jesus like a pit bull on a pork chop. I'm going after him. Amen? Fireworks show over? No. Some of y'all are going, man, I wish you'd already get to that one part where you say yes. But let's try this. Watch, I want to show this. I'm going to help somebody, and I promise I'll stop right here. But can I help you? You know, listen, some of y'all need some help right here. I want to give you some help. Just let this sink in. I promise this is the last verse. Will that let it sink in? All right. Listen. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended. To have apprehended. It means he goes, I haven't figured it all out. That's Paul. So me neither. Amen? But this one thing I do. I can't do a bunch of things, but I can do one. Forgetting those things. Anybody here need some forget some things? Golly, I wish. Just let me finish, I promise. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for unto those things which are before. Paul wrote that because he found out that Jesus wasn't saying, sitting there going, hey, yesterday. Hey, yesterday you met. Hey, yesterday. Remember yesterday when you jacked life up? Remember when you messed up yesterday? Remember last month? Remember last year? Remember 3 hours ago? Remember 3 hours ago when you said that, what you said you were going to do? What did he say? What did Paul say? I did. Forgetting those things. Right? This one thing I do. Amen? This one thing I do. I forget those things in the past, and I press. Look at this. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Some of you need to stop rehearsing all your failures and all your mistakes and all the things that you did wrong and how you didn't. What you need to say was, that was yesterday. Today I'm pressing to the mark, which is Jesus Christ. I'm going to go forward despite of who I say I am, the devil says I am, and the world says I am. God must still love me, so I will press to the mark of the high calling. Paul said he got up every day and went, you know what? And today's a new day, and we're going forward with Jesus. I don't care how bad I failed yesterday. I don't care how what the world thinks of me. I don't care what the devil thinks of me. I don't even care what I think about myself. Sometimes I'm my worst enemy. Amen? I get up and I'm thinking, man, you're not this, you're not that, you're not. And God says, just press towards the mark. And man, I wish I could help you today. Some of y'all need to forget some of your past. Some of y'all need to forget some relationship failures, financial failures, some failures with a run-in with the law. That's the police. Amen. Some of y'all need to forget past church hurts. Some of y'all need to forget what happened 20 years ago in the church. Some of y'all need to let go of what happened 5 years ago in the church. And forget those things in the past and press towards the mark in front of you, which is Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Let me ask you a question. Did you get help tonight? Yes. If you got help, the one way this is going to show